Welcome to Queensway Pentecostal Church, leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed and inspired by today's message. So today we need to focus our vision. We need to focus in on what God is calling us to. There are some words and phrases I need you to embed into your memory as we move forward as a church. I can honestly say these words, I believe, are given from the Lord. I know it's not my words. I know it's God's words that he's given to us. So let's take a look at one of our scriptures for today. It comes from Matthew 28. I've got a bunch of scriptures. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 says this. You know it so well. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you.'" We'll leave it there. Yes, the answer is yes. I read this scripture a lot. I read it a lot. But here's the deal. This scripture centers everything that we're supposed to be and everything that we are. It centers us into a specific mindset of going and making disciples. This is where things begin for us. This is what centers and unites us. There's a statement I hope that you're familiar with. It's this. I put it all over our website and put it on as many banners as we can this year. It says this: "We are leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ." I've been thinking about a couple things in particular lately that are just kind of reverberating in my brain as I process different things. But I want you to remember that statement, that we are leading people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is truth for us. I believe it with all my heart that we need to be leading people into a growing, not a sit on the couch, not a complain until Jesus comes back. There's this Twitter account that some well-known pastors retweet, and I think it's a passive-aggressive way of putting their feelings out there, because it's called, the Twitter account's the Church Curmudgeon. And he tweets funny things, and sometimes it's ridiculous, sometimes it's hilarious, but I see well-known pastors retweeting them all the time. We're not to be people who are grumpy. You know, we were at the men's breakfast yesterday. All the men were awesome, right? But there's some people there, Richard, I don't know, maybe a couple others, that everyone, it's not Richard, just we would never be. But just sometimes we can't just be old, bitter people, all right? We have to be growing in our relationship. When you're 80 years old, do you stop growing in your relationship with Jesus? No. When you're 20 years old, Jesus isn't just something that you grow with when you're a kid or a teenager. You're still to grow. When you get married and you have children, it's not like, oh, I'm good now. I don't need to grow my relationship with Jesus anymore. No, stop it. When you're a grandparent, your kids, your grandkids, they need Jesus. They need you growing in your relationship with him. The easiest thing for us to do is to stop growing. It's to stop growing. Do you know what happens when we stop growing? Netflix becomes our friend. Because we just sit there and we just let that thing autoplay TV episodes and movies over and over and over and over and over until we run out of data. Or if you're like me and you have unlimited, it don't matter. It just can keep on going and going and going. But the truth is that when we're not growing in our relationship with Jesus, we just become couch potatoes. We just become people who are only interested in our own needs. Well, Pastor Jay, I think the floor in the bathroom needs to be a little bit cleaner. Well, clean it, right? No, Pastor Jay, I don't like my neighbors. Well, bake them a pie. Be nice to them. If you throw snowballs at them every time you see them, I can see why they're a little upset. Right? Bring them some fish next time you go fishing. Some of you have that amazing spiritual gift of actually catching fish. Unlike me, where I sit there and nothing. All right? Some of you have amazing gifts where you can kill things with your bare hands in the woods. We are leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our goal. If it's not our goal, I would just say, what are we doing? One of the things I've learned in the last couple of years is that I don't want to just be sitting around chilling, waiting for Jesus to return. Do you know what the scriptures say about people who are chilling? He spits us out. We're to be hot or cold. Nothing frustrated me more as a youth pastor than a lukewarm teenage Christian. They would say, Pastor Jay, are you mad at me? I'd say, yes. Well, how can you say something like that? It's so mean. And I'd say, listen, I'm sick and tired. You're either hot or you're cold. Forget about this middle ground. And church, I see, one of my greatest fears is that, and I'm just as susceptible and guilty of this as the next person, but that we would just wait around and wait for something to happen. No, God uses you. He uses me. I don't know why he brings it all together, but he does. Why would God use me to come up in front of people and share the gospel? Like, man, I had trouble figuring the Bible out in Bible school. I was not an A-plus student. I'm sorry. Okay, that's the honest to gosh truth. I got my transcripts a few years ago because I needed them for some more courses I was taking. I thought, oh my goodness. Good thing they don't ask for this when you apply for jobs. I have the degree, but don't ask me what the grades were. We are leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to have trouble getting through my first point. One of the things that I've been deeply thinking about in the last number of weeks and months, and I learned about this many years ago, but it's been coming up in my brain again, is this thought of a post-Christian society. Do you know that the first thing folks think about on a Sunday is not church? We do, because we're here. All right? But do you know that a lot of people, I don't want to give a number on it because I don't care what the number is, but do you know that many people don't think about church as the first thing on their Sunday morning? Maybe they think about hitting the snooze button. I had to drag myself out of bed today. I lost an hour, just like everyone else, and I was like, thou shalt not hit the snooze button more than twice. I did it twice, but not three or four times. Oh my. But the truth is, we live in a post-Christian society. So what does that mean for us? It means that God is not the center. God is not the first thing that folks think about. People think about a lot of things. People think that there's lots of ways to heaven. People think that religion doesn't really matter. Christianity doesn't really matter. Some people think that all religions are the same. And the truth is that's all part of a post-Christian society. Some of you over the years have picked up on messages where I've referred to evangelism. I've even outright mentioned it, the word evangelism. And I've noticed that when we think of evangelism, which my simple definition would be us sharing Jesus with someone who doesn't know him. That would be my I won't tell you my GPA from Bible school, but that would be my version of a smart person's theory, okay? Is telling people about Jesus. When we think of evangelism, we often think only in the terms of someone talking. That's what we think of when we think of evangelism. We think that it's about Jesus, talking about Jesus over a cup of coffee with someone, saying the right magic word to someone at the right moment, inviting someone to church for a dinner, a party, a service, an event, and hoping that maybe a friend or even the pastor will tell them about Jesus for us. I grew up like that. I thought I just need to invite my friends to church. A pastor will do it. Woo, easy. That's what he gets paid to do, sucker. You know, like, that was a joke. But the truth is that it's okay. My jokes aren't good today. But the truth is that, Saba, thank you. The truth is that we need to understand that we have a responsibility to play. Although this is possible for us to bring someone to a church event or talk to them over coffee or on the street about Jesus and lead them to Christ, it's possible. It's something that's happened. In fact, it could have happened to you or your parents. Many years ago, when Arlene and I first started in our church, our first church's youth pastors, I remember they had this super old ghetto-looking wall, and they put little cards on every row, and they looked so weird. I was like, what the? This is ridiculous. And I'd see the old aunties in the church coming along and dusting it. I'm like, what are these crazy people doing? Like, I would read them and be like, Jesus loves you. And I'm like, yeah, of course he does. I'm standing in church. Shouldn't I know that? And it bothered me, and I thought, what's wrong with these people? And I thought, I'm young, I'm smart, I can tell people what to do with this wall. This is the sort of thing I think about. And then one of our young people came one day, and I was kind of making fun of this wall. I'm like, who puts this crazy stuff up here anyways? And this young girl said, my dad. And I thought, oh boy. Sometimes I put my foot in my mouth. Arlene says every day I do it, but I don't think so. I think it's every once in a while. And I said, well, why does your dad put this stuff up here? And she said, he got saved reading one of those. And I thought, oh, I really messed this one up. So what did I take away from that experience? Bible tracts are old. You can't deny it. Okay, since the printing press, there have been Bible tracts. Well, Bible first, then Bible tracts. All right? But the truth is that many people come to Christ in the past and still to this day in many different ways. But let me throw a question to you. I'm not sure that the old methods, I'll call them, are the only methods for evangelism. And let me explain this to you. At least my perspective. I read this question in preparation for today, and it really shook me. It shook me deeply, and I hope that it shakes you as well. It's nothing fancy. Again, we'll leave it my Bible school scores, but here it is. I think it's up on the screen. If it's not, don't worry about it. What if we thought about evangelism not only as opening our mouths, but also opening our ears? I want you to think about that. What if we thought about evangelism not only as opening our mouths, but also opening our ears? Now, a lot of you are very confused because I've tricked you. And it's okay, I trick a lot of people with this. But people think that I am an extrovert because I stand up in front of people and talk. The truth is, I am not an extrovert. Okay, I can't say that because they would really offend some of my family. All right, I'll just say, I'm just not an extrovert, okay? I am an introvert. I like time on my own. I like time with my wife and children. It's super basic. I'm just like, when there's lots of people around, I can take so much of it. After a while, I'm like, get lost. I'm like, see you later. I'm good. And as an adult, I own a car. I'll just leave. If I don't want to be around, I'm just gone. If you're like, where'd Pastor Jay go? If he's done. He has left the building. All right? And so, and I trick people with this because I get up here and I talk, I make jokes and all this kind of stuff. And I force myself to do it. If you guys saw me on Saturday night, you'd be like, what is he doing? Anyway, he's freaking out is what he's doing, okay? But the truth is I am an introvert. One of my gifts, my grandpa would always say to me, I'm going to see my grandpa tonight. He'd always say to me, why do people tell you stuff? And I'd say, because I don't talk before they do. I have a family where a lot of people like to talk. I don't know if you've got a family like that. It's great when people love to talk. I love it. When you're talking, you can't listen. Right? We only had one landlord in life, or when Arlene and I first got married. He would tell me all sorts of stuff. He'd be like, man, I haven't paid my taxes in 5 years. You think that's a bad thing? I'd be like, yeah, I do. I think you're going to get put in jail eventually. And he'd be like, nah. I'm like, yeah, seriously, you need to hire someone and sort it out. He had his own business. He'd be like, okay, I'll do that. And my grandpa would say to me, why does he say stuff like that to you? I'm like, I really don't know because I don't like talking to him all that much. But the truth is, he says this stuff to me. And I've learned over the years, when I just listen. I love to listen. I think some of you know that about me. I love to listen because I can hear the heart. And one of the things I've learned, and this question suggests, what if we thought about evangelism not as only as opening our mouths, but also opening our ears? I believe that we need to open our ears to the questions that people have around us. When I was, I keep on stories from years ago, I apologize today. But years ago, I was enlisted as the youth pastor to go buy computers for a whole church. There was like 20 people on staff. So hey, who should do that? Yeah, the youth pastor should do that. I don't know why I got picked. But anyways, I got picked. So here I am driving over to the Apple store. I'm like, oh my gosh, I never spent this much money in my entire life. Thousands and thousands of dollars. And I thought, no one really gave me permission to do this. They just told me to. And like, I don't think this is a good idea. Anyways, I did it anyways because I was told to do it, so I obeyed the orders from the leadership. Go buy the computers. I went and bought them. Anyways, long story short, I remember talking to the sales guy that I was working with. At the Apple Store, everyone's nice because that's how they try to pretend that they like to. It's like, spend lots of money. We'll be super nice to you. I'm like, yeah, you should be. Anyways, so I went in there and I got talking to him. He's like, why are you buying all these computers? Because me and, you know, I just wear street clothes. I don't dress up all that often. And I was like, my church, we just want to get on Macs, and it's just, whatever. Like, I don't know what they're doing. Some people don't even know how to turn the computer on, so I'm not sure why we're upgrading their computer, but whatever. And he said, so you're buying these for a church? Yeah. And he said, you know what? Because I started to listen. He said, you know what? I used to go to church. I said, yeah, where'd you go? He said, I went to such and such church. It was somewhere in Toronto. I said, that's awesome. I said, and he said, you know what? But I just don't go anymore. I'm like, why? Again, what was I doing? Listening. So from there, no, he didn't repent and fall on the floor and cry in front of the whole Apple Store. No, nothing like that dramatic happened. We just had a nice conversation. But the truth is, when we listen, we can begin to process why people are coming from their place they're coming from. I've talked to people, and they've said to me, you know, Pastor Jay, I'd love to come to church, but I can't walk through the doors of the building. And I'd say, why? They'd say, I'm scared to death. I say, about our church? No, not about your church, about any church. And I say, why? Well, because this tragic thing happened to me, and it was connected to church. And so what do? I say, I'm so sorry that happened. And I'd say, you want to know what? This doesn't make you feel better today, but I'd say, here's the truth. That has nothing to do with Jesus. Because he would never do anything to hurt us. That's just about people like me making poor decisions. I said, so I just want you to know, you can be angry at the church, I get that, as an institution. But don't be angry at Jesus. And so what do? We listen. We listen especially before we speak. But I think that when you think about evangelism, Pastor Jay, how can I reach my family? How can I reach my friends? Like I said a few weeks ago, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, you don't go looking through their windows in their house, wondering if they're home. I wonder if we can catch them. I wonder if we can see, they're watching TV, we can barge in now. No! Don't do weird stuff. Man, I feel like sometimes when we feel like we're led by the Spirit, we do such weird things. Oh, Pastor Jay, I was led by the Spirit, so I just walked right in their house and began to prophesy over them. What? What are you doing? They want to shoot you. There's guns in Espanola. So, if someone comes back without a leg someday, I'll say, I know what you were doing. You were trying to get your kids saved. They shot you. Man, the truth is that we need to shift our thinking. These are different days. This isn't 50 years ago or 80 years ago or even 20 years ago. Even 10 years ago, what if we thought about evangelism not only as opening our mouths, but also opening our ears? Faith and sharing faith is much more than a 5-minute chat with someone in some random situation. Oh, Pastor Jay, you're never going to believe what happened this week. My friend that needed to hear about Jesus, they were in the corner of the Giant Tiger store. They couldn't get away. And I got them. I put my card on this side and I went like this and I witnessed to them. Guys, careful. I'm not saying don't take steps of faith, but we need to be careful. Listen before we speak. Listen. We need to listen. Sharing our faith these days is more often about giving our time and energy, asking careful questions, and listening intently, patiently addressing a person's obstacles to the gospel. I believe that most of our country has heard the gospel. In Canada, not in other countries, but in Canada. I believe that most of us have heard about Jesus. But there are obstacles for many people to come into a relationship with him. There are obstacles that some people like you and I wouldn't understand. But the truth is there are obstacles, and we need to be there to patiently address those concerns. Do we not? Wouldn't you give all of your time to patiently address someone's concerns? Sharing our faith is often more about giving our time and energy. Have you ever had someone say to you, I've had this a few times, man, I hate Christians. They say it to me without knowing what I do. But anyways, which is kind of fun. Oh, I hate Christians. I'm like, really? Yeah. Crazy people. That's a joke. And I think, and in my mind I'm thinking, okay, what do I do here? Well, how about listening? How about making a nice gesture? Now, sometimes I wonder if it's you guys, but every once in a while, my kids trick me to go into Tim Hortons all the time. Okay, I'm constantly coming and going. I really try. I'm like, we got a budget. We got to follow it. I can't be going there. Daddy can be. Okay, fine. So I'm just a sucker. And I went last night. I didn't even get anything for myself because I was good. But it was like, Dad, I want a donut. Anyways, okay, so I went. And the truth is that sometimes, often I find, it's happened a lot of times in Espanola, people buy my Timmies for me. Now, sometimes I'm like, is that someone from church in front of me and they've been stalking me, like looking through my window, seeing what I'm doing? No. Of course not. That would never happen. But I am blessed every time someone does that. Do you know that? I'm blessed every single time. One time I went and the debit machine wasn't working. And the person was like, God, don't worry about it. I'll pay for it. And the person working there. And I just kept on going. Now, if I order a lot of food, this doesn't happen. All right? This is very, you got to do a cheap bill to get it. One coffee, maybe a muffin. Someone will take care of that. You know, a dozen coffees, two dozen donuts, it doesn't work out as well. But it's more about giving our time and energy. What if you offered to do something nice? Do a favor for someone you love so much. Why are you doing this for me, Dad? Man, you're amazing. I love you. That's why I'm doing it. That's why I'm doing it. Maybe for someone like me, it's doing something nice for maybe my folks that don't serve the Lord, cousins. Why are you doing this, Jay? I just want to bless you. Listen intently. I'm going to close in a second. I won't go into all the detail because it's a lot more colorful and I'm not really interested in going there right now. But one of the things I notice in our region, in our town and the places around us, is a lot of people think Christianity is a white man's religion. Again, I won't go into all of it. I'll do it another time. But the truth is, that statement couldn't be further from the truth. Christianity is not a white or black or any color kind of religion. And the moment that we think it is, we're mistaken. The Christian faith is for everyone. It's for everyone. So when I say leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, what I'm saying is everyone. I'm thinking of your crazy relatives that you've hid in the bush for 20 years and you haven't let out. I'm thinking of them. I'm thinking about your kids that every time you bring up Christianity or religion, they get going to go crazy and they like suddenly the phone starts ringing. Oh, I'm going to answer that. You know, I'm talking about every one of these sorts of people in our lives, our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, all these people. The Christian faith is for everyone. It's for everyone. And that's what I want us to remember. We're in this theme of Vision Sunday. What focuses our attention onto things? Leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what our focus and that's what I want our focus and attention to.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at qpcespanola.com.